This is Dee Blick. Welcome to Lead Well, Live Well for UK Health Radio. Hello and a warm welcome to Lead Well, Live Well with me, Dee Blick, on UK Health Radio, the world's biggest talk health radio station. Thank you so much for joining me today. It's lovely, as it always is, to have your company. Now, I thought I'd shake things up a little bit today, because usually I give my guest a rousing reception simply because I rate them, I've seen them in action, and they're genuine, relatable, heart-led, talented entrepreneurs. But this morning, for my guest, I thought I would tell you a little bit about one of his clients said about him. He doesn't know this, by the way, my guest. It was just his client wrote to me, because I'm working with his client on a little project for my magazine, and he was telling me how amazing my guest is. And I said, send me a few words. And this is what he said. So this is from Andy Lee, who's a private investigator, and he recently attended one of Verne's Six Ways Profit Machine seminar. Here's what Andy wrote. Verne's delivery was amazing. He changed my perspective on my business numbers, profit, and margin. He's always there offering support, encouragement, and guidance, and at times a harsh reality check, but always in a supportive way. Verne has certainly helped me be who I need to be so I can have my dream. Verne is now more than just my coach. He's my friend who I love and highly respect. I mean, goodness me, if that doesn't get the hairs on the back of your neck standing up. So Verne, welcome Verne Dirksen to the show. And isn't that just a lovely thing that Andy's written?
Wow. Hi, Dee. And hi to the listeners. Yeah, you're right. I didn't expect that. And it is quite emotional when you hear someone write something about you like that, isn't it?
Isn't it just? And when he wrote it, I think he wrote and said that you and I were like Jedi Knights. And then I thought that there's probably more to this than just Jedi Knights. So when he wrote that, I thought, what an absolutely lovely thing to write. And also, I think, because we're going to be talking in the show about you as a coach, that often just being that support, having that belief in somebody, is the catalyst for change, that the fact that you value them. And that's what I really got from Andy's piece about you, is that you've helped him. You're that catalyst for change. And I know you do so much more. I've heard so many wonderful things about you as a coach, but we're not going to start talking about you being an action coach. We're going to go right back to when you were a pastor in South Africa. I want to know what drew you to what I assume is a vocation and how long you were in that role.
Yeah, one of the things that I learned very early on is a quote by someone that said, nobody cares how much you know until they know how much you care. And that is a philosophy, I live my life by. And when I hear Andy say that, it's because I genuinely care about him and want to see him succeed, you know. And it does come from my 25 plus years of being a pastor. I grew up in a Christian home. One of my earliest memories is of my parents getting baptized as adults, you know. So doesn't mean that you're perfect, you know. In our conversations leading up, you mentioned that, you know, people want to know that we're real. And I think sometimes when people hear that you grew up in a Christian home, they think you grew up perfect. You know, we didn't. But what I saw was my parents being real people, growing in their own your walk with God and as people, as parents, as a couple. And I think that kind of introduced a concept into me that fascinated me about people, is that life is a journey. And we can go through it alone, or we can go through it with others, but it's a journey of discovery, a journey of learning more about yourself and discover what you're made of and how you think about things and how you approach life and business and family and the ones that you love, your friends and people who are outside that inner circle. And it's a discovery of how you interact with the world and with yourself. And that, I think that that played a huge role in my decision to become a pastor, because it came at a time when I was actually approached to play rugby for a provincial team in South Africa coming out of secondary, which we call high school in South Africa. I remember the coaches would take turns to drive me home to tell me, you know, the one that stands out for me was, you know, God has always been there. He will always be there, and He will still be there when you finish your rugby career. So why pursue this now when you could pursue a rugby career? And it was quite a real struggle for me to make that decision. But I remember clearly the day when I made that decision. I was struggling, you know, what do I do? And then just similar to what so many people will say, I just remember the realization of the influence and impact I can have in people's life to have a material change if I chose this route. So that was kind of like the decision process for me.
That is so powerful. And you sound like a very, I mean, obviously you are, you're a coach, you're a very self-aware person. And I was thinking when you were just sharing that, I interviewed Danny Rowe a few days ago, who's a soldier. And he said that his decision to go into the armed forces, he was 15. He can remember the moment he'd been bullied at school. Mm. He was hunkered up in his bedroom and thought, I'm made for more. I want more from life. And I do believe that in life, we have these seismic and defining moments, and we make the decision, and it can change our lives for the better. And I want to know that you then, what skills did you bring from this time into your life into business? Because I would imagine that as a pastor, there are so many transferable skills that you had in your toolkit. So when you were ready for that change, you weren't just going in there naive. You had such a lot to offer. So looking back on that, what were the skills that really you thought, I'm going to carry this forward in life?
Yeah, and it's more than expected. It's more than what I expected. You know, pastoring taught me to listen not to the first response that people give. Most of us walk around with masks or veneers that we like to project to others. And what I learned in, like I said, 25 plus years of counseling and walking with people is, you know, that there's more to it. And that you've got to ask the right questions to get to what is actually the root behind something, you know, not what the fruit is. That's something that I love to use when dealing with issues, is what's the root cause here? So listening to people, not to form a response or an opinion until we get to that root. Because I love when I start the coaching process to say to people, look, you've got a choice here. When working with me, you can be honest from the start, which will be difficult and uncomfortable, but the truth always comes out.
Yes, yeah.
Do you know what I mean? It's
I do.
We can like kind of like cover things up and give reasons and excuses and blame, but the truth will always come out. So the sooner we get to that, the better, and the sooner we can start working on things. And it's to hold those difficult conversations is another skill with sensitivity and awareness. And what Andy said there, care.
Yeah. Listen, I've seen you in action as a public speaker. All of those things you've mentioned there, I'm nodding my head thinking, absolutely, they are such transferable skills. But it's not just skills you've learned. They're skills that are at the core of your being. They're your DNA. You're not having to affect them. And this is something that no amount of training courses could embed deep within you. It's like part of you. The other thing I'd say, having seen you, is you're a really good public speaker, that you've got that really lovely, I call it gentle but impactful way of delivering, that you don't have to be the loudest speaker to have the most impact. And I would imagine that is what's really within your toolkit today. And so We're just coming up to the first break now. So don't go away, because after the break, I'm going to be asking Vern what brought him to the UK. And I really want to dig deep into his journey as an action coach and what he does to support others.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
What if your healing journey could feel empowering, hopeful, even transformative? Welcome to the Alkaline Collective Mastermind, a community for anyone facing cancer, staying cancer-free, or committed to prevention. No matter your stage, whether you've chosen conventional care, an integrative path, or a fully holistic approach, here, you're not alone. Here, your healing journey becomes a journey of empowerment. We explore the science of oxygenation, metabolism, and alkalinity, while strengthening your emotional, spiritual, and physical well-being. This is a mastermind with heart, accountability, connection, wisdom, and real support. Because your journey isn't just about surviving, it's about thriving. Join us by clicking on the Alkaline Collective Mastermind banner on the UK Health Radio homepage or directly at alkaline-collective.com, where self-belief grows, healing deepens, and transformation begins.
Somewhere on Earth, there are 4 acres that belong to you. You don't need to be there in person, only there in purpose, protecting it, defending it, keeping it alive. Because the world doesn't need more good intentions. It needs more meaningful actions. Register your interest at 4acresearth.com.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
Welcome back to Lead Well, Live Well with me. And in the studio today, we have the wonderful Vern Dirksen talking about his life from a pastor in South Africa to now being based in Crawley in the United Kingdom. So, Vern, I want to know now, when did you alight on the UK and why? And then I want us to start talking about your becoming an action coach and what that entailed.
Yeah, it's quite a story, and maybe one we will share offline one day. But we moved to the UK in 2018, myself, my wife, and my 3 daughters. The reason we came to the UK was because we believe that we were called here. We went through a process and a journey of, whether we should stay in South Africa. I really wanted to go to the US, and we really tried to get into the US, but 9 different times at point 99, every time it fell through. And then one day my wife got a call, and that opened the door for us to come to the UK. And we moved here from when we said yes, had the call, said yes, and moved here was 8 weeks. It was just incredible. In fact, when I sat in front of the interviewing agent at the embassy, I asked her, I said, so how long does this process normally take for people to get everything approved and everything done? Because it's quite a process and it's rigorous. She said 6 to 8 months. And I said to her, so at that point, it's been 5 weeks. I said, what would you say if I told you that we've got everything ready in 5 weeks? She said, impossible. Must be a miracle.
Yeah.
And so that's why we came to the UK. Is we did feel a clear call. We moved to this specific area in Crawley following that call. I believe you knock on doors in life, and some doors remain closed and some open, and you've got to then a choice. Do you want to walk through that door or do you want to stay where you are? And we chose to walk through the door that opened for us to come to Crawley. And it's been quite a journey and that was in 2022. So in April 2022, we moved down to the Crawley area, and it's been an incredible finding our home, if I can say that.
So let's talk now about your journey to becoming an action coach. I want to know, did you alight on action coaching through a process of discovery? Was it recommended to you? Tell me a bit about what led you to the point of saying, I'm going to be an action coach.
Yeah. So as you said earlier, you know, you asked me questions about pastoring and the things that I learned. I've always been interested in people's growth and progression. And as a pastor, I didn't just deal with the individual. Often I dealt with leadership issues and interpersonal issues within their businesses, because we had many business owners in the churches that we were part of. And in 2023, I think, my wife just said to me, it's like, love, you love what you do. You love working with people and you deal with business issues all the time. Why don't you become a business coach? And this, I mean, I've got a history at work, working as well. I wasn't ever just only a pastor. I was a national sales manager for an IT company, national sales manager for a manufacturing company, and I also ran the regional office, like a county office, for an office automation company, and turned the sales around massively in a year. So I've got business experience, as well as the personal experience that being a pastor brought, you know, to me. And when my wife said, well, you know, why don't you do this for a living? I was like, of course, man, let me do it. Let me become a business coach, as so many business coaches have done and said.
Yeah.
And as an independent coach, but after about 18 months, I realized, whoa, hold on a bit. Actually, people deserve more and they deserve better from me than just my 25 years as a pastor and as a senior manager responsible for growing and developing teams and turning around sales. Actually, if I'm going to be a business coach, I need to be a business coach. And because I believe in community and impacting our community, I want to be the best business coach I can be and access the best tools I can. And so, alongside my wife saying, so how long is this going to take to be a successful business? I had to do some real honest introspection and say, well, what is it going to take to be really successful? At that time, a friend of mine, whom I approached early and said, hey, I'm becoming a business coach. Let me coach you. And he said, well, I've already got a coach. Thank you very much. To which I was quite disappointed. He was actually coached by an action coach. And he introduced me, and I actually attended a growth club of this action coach, Phil Chantry. Incredible coach, really. And I realized, oh no. If this is what the competition is like, and the full toolkit that they offer was mind-blowing, I need to investigate a little bit and see, how can I become part of this? But I didn't just look at and did some research around Action Coach. I looked at other, organizations or franchises out there that does coaching. But what I loved, Dee, what I absolutely loved about Action Coach is the support that exists for me as a coach is incredible. The toolkit that we have as action coaches is it's honed over 32 years across 84 nations, and we've worked with over 300,000 businesses. And so there's a proven track record here that gave me a confidence that I didn't find elsewhere. And then in part of my due diligence, I spoke to actual clients. And these clients, the thing that blew me away, how many of them actually loved their coaches, became friends with their coaches. And the way that they spoke, I was like, that's how I want my clients to speak about me, much like Andy.
Yeah, absolutely. I would agree with that completely. And I know that the training is quite intense. I mean, training is intense anyway. I interviewed Laura Osman, who's an accredited coach, and the training she underwent was phenomenal. You know, she's got you've got all the certificates, the bells and the whistles. And I just, can you share a bit about, you brought all your, obviously your sales experience, you brought all your experience as a pastor, you brought your innate character, you brought you to the table. And we've got a couple of minutes before the next break. I'd just love to know, tell me about the training that you embarked on for this new and exciting period of your life.
Yeah, no problem. The first experience of training was I went to Vegas for 10 days, 140 hours in 10 days, 14 hours a day. It was like You're sitting there and you're engaging, but it's like someone takes a fire hydrant and opens it full tilt, and it gets, you know, you get just sprayed with all this information, which is very intentional how they approach it, because you've got to realize what is fluff and what's not. And when you are inundated with so much information, what should remain remains, and what should be added will be added as far as information is concerned. And so it was quite intense. And that kind of like kickstarts your journey as an action coach and your education. But more than that, we also meet every Monday to Thursday from 8 till 9 as coaches, and we hone our skills. We expand our understanding and our education. Continuously, like I said, 4 times a week, we intentionally spend time together to expand our education. And then also we read a lot. We attend seminars. And the big thing is your failure point is always at your lowest level of competency, never at your highest level of competency. And that's what education does. Education helps raise your lowest levels of competencies.
So agree with that, yeah.
You know what I mean? Because at the end of the day, when stress hits, it doesn't look for the strength for the strength in your armory. It looks for the weak points, and that's where the stress break and anxiety breaks through.
Now, I agree completely with that, and I think we have got a minute to the next break. So, for a quick answer, I want to know that. I mean, I've got a coach, and she really helps keep me on the straight and narrow. And when my head's going in, with me, it's my head going into overdrive, typical ADHD. But I just want to know that as a coach who has got this incredible support network, is there anybody that you look up to specifically in the coaching community that you think that woman or that man, they're really there for me and I really respect them?
I mean, I'm very privileged, more than most, being part of the community that I am in Action Coach, because I've got access to all of them at any point in time, and I have lent into them. And so different coaches have really done different things for me during my process. And so it'd be hard for me to identify any specific one of them. But I can say that my current coach, James Burke, who's my coach, who I get to do with what other I do with others, has really just helped me with the accountability piece. I know you're going to get to this later around what do I do with my own business. But that's the thing. And then the other person that really I've learned a lot from is a gentleman called John MacArthur on leadership. Incredible influence on leaders of leaders that he's had for decades now. And I try as much as possible to consume as much of his information in his books and seminars that I come across, because he's got an incredible insight in what makes great leaders.
Wonderful, wonderful. Now we're coming up to the second break, so don't go away. And after the break, I'm going to be asking Vern about the most rewarding aspect about being a coach. And he's obviously started out as a small business. And as we all know, having a small business is not without its challenges. So don't go away.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
What if your worst dreams aren't your enemy?
Falling, cheating, being chased, naked, drowning, losing teeth. What if I fail? What if something goes wrong?
I'm Teresa Chung, dream expert, best-selling author, and co-host of The Healing Power of Your Dreams. And in my latest title, Extreme Dreaming, I reveal a powerful truth. There are no bad dreams.
They feel so real, but that's so you remember them.
They're messages, signals, transformative gifts guiding you toward clarity.
Click on the Extreme Dreaming discount banner link on UK Health Radio homepage and learn to decode even your darkest dreams.
Extreme Dreaming.
Are you ready to listen?
The station that makes you feel good.
Welcome back to Lead Well, Live Well with me, Dee Blick. And in the studio, I've got Vern Dirksen. And Vern, your training sounds amazing. I love the fact that you've got people that you can learn from, you can look up to. They will also be a support network to you. I want to ask you now, I read that really quite beautiful quote from Andy. And I know as a marketer that when my clients are really happy and they're getting results and the sales needle's going up, I've given them more confidence to step into the spotlight. That's their it's hyacinths for my soul. And I want to ask you now, what is the most rewarding aspect about being a coach?
I've thought about this one quite a bit. And it's that moment where an owner stops being the ceiling for the business.
Go on, tell me more. I feel you've got a cliffhanger there.
Yeah, there's a point in the process, and sometimes it can take months and sometimes it takes a few weeks, but there's a moment where something shifts within the owner, a realization that happens. Is almost like I can see it in their eyes. It's a moment where the switch gets flicked, and it's like a spark happens in their thinking, a realization that happens. And it's in that moment where whatever ceiling they have placed on themselves and their business is removed, whether it's a limiting belief, whether it's a realization that there's a skill set that needs to change, or a difficult conversation that needs to be had, an accountability piece that they were afraid to do and then just did, and the breakthrough came. That's a moment that just exhilarates me and excites me, because that's the moment where the faith that they've placed in the process and in me is proven.
Yes.
Because, you know, oftentimes people start with concerns, with worries, and it is almost like a step of faith or a leap of faith that they do. There's some realizations that they made to say, yes, I want to get coached. But when they taste the reality of the benefit, it's like everything multiplies and speeds up. And suddenly the barriers that existed before is removed, and then acceleration happens. That's a moment that I absolutely love.
I was thinking, I concur with everything that you've said there. I think we are often the catalyst, where that touch point where things happen. But just how much of that as well is the fact that I've experienced it as a marketer, that I don't take on clients now, but when I did, a lot of it was I believed in them. I wouldn't take a client on unless I absolutely believed in them. Yeah. I connected with them as a human. I connected with them in a spiritual way as well as a material way. And what I found, and I want to explore this with you, the fact that I believed in them gave them such a profound sense of accomplishment of what was possible. Yeah. And often they'd not had that before. They'd not had somebody say, do you know what, I think you're amazing, I believe in you, and the fact that I believe in you, I'm now going to help you with real robust practical advice, also with an arm around you and with a stern voice when a stern voice is needed, because you're going off track. And I want to ask you, that you're a very affable, a very personable person, how much of you, like, for example with Andy, how much of you really putting your faith in that person, I believe in you, how important is that to the subsequent relationship, but also to their subsequent accomplishment?
It plays a massive role, Dee. I mean, I don't want to fill my diary with people that I don't get along with. You know what I mean?
I do.
And if you constantly meet, because some of these business owners, you know, I meet with weekly, you know, how often do you want to meet with people that you just consistently at loggerheads with? And so I do want to ask who the people are that I want to work with, because it's as much a question of do they want to work with me, but do I want to work with them? And that who is a great example. So are you willing? Are you willing to do the work? Are you willing to have the conversations? Are you willing to expand your horizons? Are you honest?
Yes, yes.
Are you honest in yourself and in your business for what you want to accomplish and what needs to work on? And then are you open-minded?
Absolutely. You know? They call it honesty, open-mindedness, and willingness to how.
Yes.
But I really am with you completely on that. And particularly you've made that point about liking people. And I always said I'd never take on a client that I didn't like, because if I'm going to be spending anything from 1 to 2 days a month in their company, I have to like them.
Yeah.
I can't just take the money and run. It's never been about the money for me. Yeah. It's about that passion and purpose. And then the money will flow. And so I think I recently let a person go after the first session, because I had to say, I don't think we're connected at the right level. I just didn't get on with them. And I thought, no amount of money is going to make me look forward to going into that session. But what I also thought, and you might have experienced this, that it goes both ways, that whereas others will see you as being this vibrant, smart guy that's out to help them, to others it can be always going on at me, I've got to do this. And if ever I feel that potential client sees me as the person who's bestowing some form of punishment, or I've got to do this because D won't be happy with me, that to me is an immediate severance of working together. And I think with you, it's like you're bringing yourself into this, aren't you? Your whole self, everything about you is brought into that relationship.
I think it's so often before you reach the point of severance, as the word that you used, I think there are red flags or amber flags that go up. That's why I ask my clients to score me for after each session. It's like, how am I doing as your coach? Because if I don't, I don't know if I'm hitting the mark or not. And in fact, I had someone who scored me a 6, which I was absolutely devastated about. And I said then, it's like, why did you score me a 6? And he said, well, sometimes when you ask me a question, I'm unclear as to the context for the question. And I'm so worried about the context that I don't think about my answer. Now, that was such an easy fix. So immediately I made the adjustment and said, okay, so the reason I'm asking this question is because I've noticed this. It just released him to then focus on what he should. And I think sometimes we ignore the red flags, Dee, that are visible. And by not addressing them, we actually rob ourselves and that person from the breakthrough that might be the very thing, that the very catalyst that changes things for them. And so, having to manage your own internal, drivers and insecurities is quite an important thing. You touched on it earlier, is a self-awareness. I had to become very clear on what I want to achieve in life. And then from that point, become honest with myself about what I saw in me and what needs to change.
Absolutely.
We're both going to talk about TEDx in a minute, but that's part of the
Absolutely. I mean, I want to just really, perhaps the last question before we do talk about TEDx, is that you're a small business owner, you're building a business.
Yep.
It's not without its challenges. So how do you handle, what are the challenges and how do you handle them?
I'm a small business like most small businesses out there, and I face the same realities, which are human realities, my own being human and a business owner and my limitations, as well as the context that we all find ourselves in with the current economy and the pressures that's put on all of us. But I handle it the same way that I ask my clients to handle it. I've got a coach, and I've got to ask myself, who am I when I speak to my coach? Because I can lie to him. I can give reasons why I didn't perform like I should and didn't do the things that I needed. I've just gone through a period myself where I've had to have a real hard look at my marketing and who am I communicating to? And when I didn't do certain of the tasks, my coach said, some very interesting things to me that made me realize that I was letting myself off the hook. So I'm in the same place in the sense of, do I actually believe what I'm telling others so much that I do it myself?
Are you walking your talk? And it's not just are you walking your talk, it's are you walking your training as well. And I agree with you as a marketer that I have to, when I'm telling a client, when we're putting a campaign together, I have to come at that from a position of experience and expertise. And also I have to say, would I do this for my business? And I won't tell you to do anything if I wasn't in your position. Because for me, authenticity, but also like you, I've had so much training and qualification. But I like just going back. I didn't really comment back, but I liked your scoring and for a client, how have I done today? And I'm the same with my clients. It's how have you found this session today? And I always say, before I go, I want you to take me through the key learnings. And that shows me then that it's gone in, because 100%. It's important for me. I don't want them going away thinking, oh, how deep, like, how wonderful. I'm going away thinking, right, these are the action points. Let's talk a bit about TEDx, because you and I, I'm just thinking when this interview airs, it will be before our TEDx, but you and I are on the stage, not together, but we'll be in the same room at TEDx on the 24th of June at Crawley. Yeah, I mean, I'm a professional speaker and have been for many years, but this is very different for me that I'm not talking about marketing. I'm talking about my journey from addict to author, which is very raw and relatable. And I've got to be careful I don't say too much that makes me teary. But I wanted to know what you will be talking about at this TEDx. It's now full as well, which is amazing. Sold out.
It's really fabulous. I'm really excited for our region, Dee. I'm really excited in the appetite people have for improvement and also just growth, you know. So my, I'm still playing a little bit with the title, but right now I'm landing at the mirror, the marriage, and the magic. The mirror, the marriage, the magic, and how to do the things we know we should. So I'm going to just look at that a little bit. There's a bit of psychology behind it, but rooted in some real life experience. Some painful, some journey, and some really just encouraging. That's very broad terms and high level, because we've only got 15 minutes, don't we, on the day. And I'm really looking forward to encourage people to overcome those things that are stopping them to do what they know they should.
Absolutely. And I think something about a TEDx that we can talk about our professional expertise, but I think there is something, I just call it the two R's of raw and relatable, that when we're kind of bearing our soul and showing lessons learned, I think not only does that inspire people, but it gives them permission to be flawed and fabulous, to recognize that we walk on this earth, we're imperfect but wonderful human beings, and that we can go into, I talk a bit outside of the business world about my journey, because I always think if I can help one person that's going into addiction or that's coming out of it, then I've done a good job. And that's part of the gift, I think. We look at our, whether you call them God-given talents or your spiritual gifts, that we've been given something. Yeah. We've been given something special, and it's how we are relatable in showing how we manage some of the tough things that happen in our lives that can really help others. That can. I also think a lot of it's about giving people permission to be vulnerable, giving them permission to be a little bit flawed, and then also talking about it. And I'm on a bit of a, I have been for several years on a crusade to get people to talk about the angst that they're holding close to their chest. Because if they can release it, they realise, actually, it's not that bad and I'm not alone in this. It's when we feel alone in our aloneness. So I feel that you and I speaking like this at TEDx, I hope it's, and I've got guests coming from, I was telling you before the talk, from Mexico, all over the UK. And I'm really looking forward to it. I'm sure you are as well, because you're
very much.
All your talents, you know, as a pastor, it's like you were delivering, I would imagine, mini TEDx talks every day at the, is it the pulpit you stood at when you were preaching? So it's nothing different here. It's just a TEDx, isn't it?
You touched on something there that's very close to my heart, Dee. You know, if I believe that you can live your life in one of two ways, open-handed or closed-handed. Most people they grasp at things, hoping that it'll be the solution. But it automatically closes their hands, and then they hold on for dear life, and they fight for it, and they wrestle with that. But I believe if you live your hand with your life with open-handedness, when you live your life with open-handedness, things can be put in and things can be taken out. My life is not determined by what gets put in. My life gets determined by how I handle whatever is in my hands in the moment.
Absolutely.
And so the better I become at understanding what drives me, how I interact with the world and engage with the world, helps me manage whatever is in my hand right now better. And what often happens is you get given something, and there's certain responsibilities and certain things involved with it. You do that well, it gets replaced with more opportunity, more responsibilities, more privilege, and like I said, opportunities to impact people and change lives, you know?
Completely. I think that's that's quite a wonderful and spiritual way of looking at life. And I certainly, I'm very much like that. And what I try to do, I call it relinquishing my attachment to the outcome.
Yeah.
As a young woman, I was all about, I want this, I want that. And then it's like, you know what? Relinquish your attachment to that outcome.
Yeah.
Invest in it and let's see what happens. And I've had to almost rewire myself to think. Yeah. I think the gift of addiction, when you go into addiction, you're really virtually at the end of the line, and you come out of it, and it gives you the opportunity to look at the person that you were destined to be, because you weren't destined to be, in my case, drinking yourself to death. Yeah. You were destined for so much more. And part of that rewiring is that you become open. It's back to that honesty, open-mindedness and willingness. You become open to a different way of being and a different way of living. So I really love that hand analogy that you've just shared. And I'm looking forward to us doing this TEDx talk. I think there will be a camaraderie. And there's something really wonderful about an event that is designed for nothing more than to spread a positive message, albeit it will be many positive messages. And that's what we want in the world at the minute, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. You know, Andy mentioned it earlier, being and doing and having. You mentioned now the outcome. So often what people see on social media is the outcome, and then they attach their identity to that outcome. But the problem is, a result is a result. You can't do anything when you've got the result in front of you. The question you've got to ask is, what do I need to do to have the result?
Yes, yes.
You know, and so we've got this formula at Action Coach that I love. It's called be times do equals have.
Yeah.
So in other words, what is the result you want in this area? In order to have that result, who do I have to be? And what do I need to do to have that result? If I take my marriage, for instance, if I want a great marriage, what kind of husband do I have to be? And what kind of things do I have to do as a husband to have that kind of marriage?
Yes.
The same with business. What kind of business do you want to have? Well, what kind of business owner do you need to be? And what kind of things do you need to do as a business owner to have this incredible business? And when you focus on the be and do part, the have takes care of itself. It's a result.
Yes.
We see it all throughout nature, D. The soil is either rich or fallow. You can do things to impact the soil, to enrich it so that the fruit that's delivered is incredible. But you can't physically change the fruit on the tree. But you can influence it by how you treat the plant, how you treat the soil. And it's the same for our lives.
That is absolutely wonderful. And I'm just conscious, I could chat to you all day, Vern. I'll have to get you back on. It's just been wonderful talking to you today. And I want you to share your motivational quote, and then you've got a question for me. And I know not what that question is.
My turn.
I'm kind and nice. Be nice to me.
I'll be very nice, Dee. I'll be very nice. I wrestled over this. So Albert Einstein said, we cannot solve our problems with the same thinking we used when we created them.
Love. I I haven't heard that in a long time. And that's one that I think I've absolutely got to write that down. It's all about change, isn't it?
Yeah.
We have to move from that point. Yeah. I absolutely love that.
And that's what I get to do. I get to help people identify the thinking and the doing that contributed to where they find themselves. And then what do we need to change the outcome?
I bet you're an amazing coach. I'll have to come along to one of your, I know you do these sessions. I'll have to just come along and sit there and listen to you. But tell me, what is the one question that you have for me?
Right. So, are you ready? So, most business advice focus on what to do, right? And you've interviewed a lot of business owners and people of influences. What do you think people most need to stop doing?
Wow. So is this, I think, gosh, that's a really, what do they need to stop doing? I think one is stop doing what they've always done, expecting something different. And no. I found this, I've been in marketing for 42 years. They seem to think, well, if I throw even more mud at the same wall, it will stick. So they've got to stop doing what they're doing because it's not working. And then they have to be open to either a radical overhaul of change or small incremental steps that will lead them to happy destiny. And that requires a shift, as you said, in their thinking. It means actually being teachable. It means being open to somebody, like whether it's me or it's you, saying, you know what, this might have worked for you before, but it's not working now. Let's explore why, and then let's look at the change that is needed both mentally and materially in terms of energy and efforts. And that's something that I've spoken about it all over the world in keynote speeches about. It starts with that person thinking it ain't working. And if it ain't working, doing even more of what isn't working is not going to help me. So I would say, I mean, that's just a really great question. I don't know how, do you want to come back on that answer?
Yeah, I'd love to, because I've got a different version of the who analogy. And you mentioned two of them. When I started counseling people, I always asked them three things. Are you humble? Are you teachable? And will you be accountable?
Yeah.
You know, humility is not something that we hear a lot about these days. But there's something about a humble person that is attractive, that makes conversations real because there's no walls or barriers put up. Being teachable is a tough one because we live in a world where people want to show how much they know and what they can do. And then the accountability part is a powerful one because it really is the key that unlocks the breakthrough, in my opinion. I think you're 100% right, Dee, is stop thinking that you're going to throw the mud on the wall and magically it's going to change to paint in the process of throwing to when it sticks.
Yeah, and I think I'd also add to that before I bid you farewell. I think gratitude, that I'm a person for whom gratitude has played a huge part in my life. And I think when you see something as a gift and you're grateful rather than an obstacle or, oh, no, I've got to do this and that, but instead you view it as actually I'm being given a gift here. And I have spent the last 26 years as a clean and sober woman being grateful for the gifts in life. Some might have seen them as obstacles or, darn it, I've got to change. I just think that's a gift. And so I think when we have the gift of gratitude, we also then become willing to change. Because we're not seeing it as, oh, my goodness me, I've got to do this. We suddenly think, isn't this wonderful? I've got a gift here and I'm going to change to really get all the paper off that gift and hold this beautiful orb in my hands. So, Vern, we've now come to the end of an absolutely wonderful.
I love it, Dee. Thank you.
Oh, it's great. And we'll chat again. And I'm really glad that we're really in each other's space, aren't we? In some little way, we sort of, it's really wonderful. So thank you for thank you for having me. Thank you for it felt like that. Thank you for being on my show today.
Thanks for having me, Dee. I really appreciate it.
So that is the wonderful Vern Dirksen, Action Coach. And I really encourage you to look him up on LinkedIn, chat to him. He's got so much of value and experience to impart and share. And I now just want to flick the switch and talk about you. And my parting thought today really came from Vern sharing about how he felt his calling as a pastor. And then he became a really successful businessman. And then a very successful coach building a thriving small business. What's come out for me, and I hope you take this today, don't put limits on yourself. Don't put yourself in a box and think where I am now is where I'm going to be all my life. Life is a series of stepping stones. And it might be you're really happy in the space that you have now. It might be that you know you're destined for more. So don't put yourself in that box. Look at your wonderful talents and how they can be applied in many different roles, just as Vern has done today. And that just leaves me, Dee Blick from Lead Well, Live Well, to send you another virtual hug. And as always, I encourage you to stand in your circle of power and embrace all the wonderfulness that life has to offer you. Take care.
You've been listening to Lead Well, Live Well on UK Health Radio.